This podcast is part of a special series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine.
Welcome to a policy podcast brought to you by Science Magazine. Colin Norman, Science's esteemed news editor, will be stepping down this month after 32 years at Science Magazine. He will be much missed. So, Colin, looking back at the past 32 years at Science and the past 18 years as news editor, what's been the most rewarding part of your job?
Oh, I think every week when we bring out the magazine and I see all this great work that the writers and editors have done here, you know, each issue is a real pleasure. Probably the most rewarding thing, too, is all of the awards that our great reporters have won over the years. We've won about 24 in the past decade. I've just been trying to count them up, but it's about 24 awards, which is very gratifying.
Do you have a top moment or two from your time here when you really stopped and thought, wow, I love this job?
Just about all the time. It wasn't a job I expected to be in when I was at college, when I was a chemistry major to begin with. But I cured myself of that by doing a year's chemistry and working in a chemistry lab and decided I really wanted to do something broader. And probably the first time I thought that this is really a job that I wanted to do was when my first piece was published in Nature magazine just after I graduated from college.
So we've talked about how wonderful your tenure here has been, but what about some of the more challenging aspects of your job?
It's always challenging to put together a weekly news section to make sure that everything comes together at the right time, that the editing and the production and all of the artwork all comes together. It's always a challenge. The most challenging aspects of this job, when we were just on a weekly schedule, was incorporating things that happen at the last minute. We had only print readers in the early days, and you needed to try and get everything that you could in, and then something big would break, and it would generally happen just as you're on deadline. And that's always a challenge. Now we have the challenge of publishing everything as soon as it happens with our daily news service on the web, hour by hour and minute by minute, and trying to be there at the same time, if not before, our many competitors on the web. The whole landscape of who we're writing for and how fast we're writing and what kinds of things we're writing has changed rather dramatically in the last decade or so.
Tell us a little bit more about that. How has the news landscape changed and how has science changed along with it?
It's changed in two major ways. One is global. We used to be a magazine that was based here in Washington, writing largely for America. Now the whole scientific enterprise is global, and we have bureaus from Tokyo, Beijing, three or four bureaus in Europe, including our big publishing office in the United Kingdom, and we have reporters in four other cities around the United States. So we've become global ourselves in our coverage. That's the first main thing. And the second is we were always just on a weekly schedule, and we still are to a large extent publishing the weekly magazine. But now with our daily web service, Science Now and Science Insider, we're publishing really up to the minute continuously. Our deadlines have changed. Our whole audience has changed. We used to reach just scientists, or very largely scientists, through the weekly magazine. Now we're reaching lots of people who you would never think would read science through our web service and our Facebook audience, which is, I believe, up to about 250,000 followers on Facebook now. So we're reaching a whole different audience. So the whole landscape really has changed.
So you've seen science's evolution over the past 30 years. Where do you think it'll be in another 30 years?
30 years' time? If you'd asked me that when I first started here and I would have said we would be reaching everybody through the internet, it was just unimaginable. So in 30 years' time, I really don't know. We'll probably no longer be publishing. Print would be would be a pretty safe bet. I would imagine, you know, new forms of communication, you know, we're going to be right up there with them. Exactly what those forms will be, I really couldn't tell at this stage, and it would be silly to try and guess. 5 years' time, we'll be much more digital than we are now. We're already moving very fast in that direction. But in 5 years' time, we will be doing a lot of different things through multimedia that we're just beginning to do now.
And are there any anecdotes from your time here that you think really encapsulate the science experience?
One of the biggest surprises that I got is that I got an email that was addressed to me and a colleague at Science early in the morning on a weekday. I can't remember exactly which day of the week, that we had won a major prize. And I sort of looked at it and thought, well, this must be, you know, one of those scams. Give us your bank account information and we'll give you a prize. It turned out to be that we had won the most prestigious award from Spain, the Prince of Asturias Foundation Award. And that was just such a huge thrill. It was awarded to the magazine as a whole for scientific communication. That was one big surprise and a big thrill in my time here.
So how did you reply to the email?
Oh, I realized fairly soon that this was something serious and something very prestigious.
Oh, wonderful. And what are your plans for the future? What do you plan to do now?
Well, I'm trying not to use the R word, but I'll be basically stepping down. I'm moving to a small town on the Delaware coast. Bought an old house, so I will need to upregulate my construction genes. And I'll continue to do a lot of writing over the years. It's something that's really deep in my blood, so I'll continue to do that.
Is there anything else you'd like to share? Any last words?
This is such a great team of reporters and editors. It really has been a privilege to have been a part of it for as long as I have. And we have a lot of credibility for being part of this wonderful 130-year-old magazine that still continues to publish the best in science. And it's just really been a thrill to be part of it for so long.
Colin Norman, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Read Colin's farewell editorial in Science's May 24th issue. I'm Meghna Sachdev. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers, AAAS, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a policy podcast, part of a series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine. The full Science podcast is released Thursdays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.